The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to William Hill's Racing Podcast. We're going to look ahead to Friday's racing on this edition. You'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 1:35pm. Stuart Beasley, John Budden and Gareth Topham will be in the studio. It's day three of the Ebor meeting at York, which means it's Nunthorpe Day. Plenty of racing to look forward to. On the Knaves Mile, we also have Newmarket and Fosslass in the afternoon, Newcastle, Goodwood and Hamilton in the evening. My name is Mark Walton. And joining me in the studio, Mr. Ross Briley. How are you doing, Ross?
I'm very well, Mark Walton. Very well.
Good. Doing your best Ricky Van Wolfswinkel impression there with the hair slicked back.
Yeah, thank you very much. Yeah. He's my new hero.
Yes.
He's a nice man.
He's a nice man, yes.
By the way, can I just say that I've never seen someone gain so much enjoyment from timing their intro to perfection like you do on these podcasts. Then it goes, ding, 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 ding. There's a big grin across your face.
It means I've nailed it.
You really have. Although, to be honest with you, there was a little bit of an extended pause in there. I still think you maybe just make your language a bit more flowery, perhaps. Okay. Just extend it a bit.
Yeah.
I think you cut to the chase too soon there.
Right, okay. Your feedback is welcomed and disregarded.
Well.
No, I appreciate it.
It's all right. To be fair, I've been here for quite a few years and I'm used to it by now. I'm used to that response.
I'm happy to get feedback from an esteemed broadcaster like yourself.
Well, there'll be one coming in very shortly.
Yes. York then, Ross.
York then, Mark.
Yes.
I no longer hate the place.
Really? Good. Yeah. I'm glad to hear that.
It is. Betting-wise, I love the place in terms of going.
You've always had a bit of a tricky time betting there. Yeah.
Oh, we've had a lovely love-hate relationship.
We'll talk about the first day then, while we've got this opportunity. And the big race of the day went the way of declaration of war, which may have surprised a few people, but you were on the right lines from what I was reading on Twitter on Wednesday.
Yeah, it's a bit frustrating, really, because I do like it when people go, it's A versus B in the clash of the century. And you go, it's an eight-runner race. Yeah. Anything could happen. That kind of happened yesterday in the international. And I don't know, Toronado is now, I don't know where he's got this reputation from, because he's taken part in four group ones. He's won one at Goodwood when he was given a perfect ride. And he's got beaten in the other three. People still saying, oh, this, that and the other, so on and so forth. Don't think he's that good. he's won a group one, well done. That sounded a bit patronising.
Yeah, to be fair,
winning a group one is actually quite an achievement. But he's been put in his place so far three times out of four when racing in the top company this year. So it wasn't his true run yesterday.
No.
He was awkward a little bit out of the stalls. He was a bit keen early on. He didn't really fancy it. But 10 furlongs on a big galloping track like that, where it was going to be made a bit of a test as well, because you had some true middle distance horses in there. I know people were saying, and we're very much disputing what I put on Twitter about him being more his strength. I'm not saying he doesn't stay, and he's not going to stay.
Yeah,
I'm just saying that his strengths come from speed rather than stamina.
His kick over a mile is what wins it. What gets him
gets him into that position. Yeah, which is what won him. I mean, Goodwood. Yeah, there was strong early fractions at Goodwood, but the fact that it is a track that suits a horse that can cruise through a race, York doesn't necessarily do that. York is the horses that get into that rhythm, that grinding rhythm. Declaration of War did it. I thought Trading Leather was going to do it. I mean, Al-Kazim, I thought, had peaked, perhaps, on his exploits this year. I thought maybe Sandown was his optimum.
Was the ground
optimum
a little bit too firm for him as well?
Possibly. It wasn't necessarily ideal conditions. And remember, he's 5 years old, and he's up against 3 or 4 year olds who is maybe, if he's peaked, someone else might have a little bit of improvement in him. I thought Trading Leather would have that improvement. To be fair, he probably did a bit much in front early, and he played a blinder to actually battle back to get second, but that's just the kind of horse he is. And to be fair, Declaration of War got the perfect run through, and if he hadn't have done it, had that run through, Trading Leather might well have battled back. It might well have been him and Al-Kazim, but Declaration of War, who'd won over 11 furlongs, remember, at Dundalk. And to be fair, was probably just been outspeeded a couple of times on his last couple of starts over a mile. Came through to land the spoils. I mean, it was hardly a shock result. A Group 1 winner beat a Group 1 winner with a Group 1 winner back in third in a Group 1. It's the only disappointment was Tornado, who didn't run his race. So I don't think it was that... It was a shock result in a way, but a class horse won it.
Yeah. Found to be coughing as well after the race, wasn't he, Tornado?
Was he?
I think so, yeah.
Okay.
So,
fair enough.
So that's another... Well, that probably explains why he didn't run his race.
He wasn't on his A game, was he, clearly?
No, and the fact that Alkazim didn't get the better of Trading Leather, do you think that's because Trading Leather's improving still? And like you say, Alkazim has peaked, or do you just think it suggests that things weren't quite right for Alkazim as well?
That's probably a variety of things. Ground probably a bit too quick. I think Trading Leather's just a thorough stayer. And those Bolger horses they're so hard to properly beat. I mean, Trading Leather's finished out of the front three once, and that was in really soft ground at Doncaster last year in the Racing Post Trophy. And you know, in good races as well. So he was no slouch, and I think using the energy to get past him, then he didn't have anything when Declaration of War came. And to get out battled for second, maybe was a little bit disappointed, but he got out battled by a mile and a half horse, really. So yeah, it was a little bit disappointing, Alkazim, wasn't it?
Yeah.
But only in the face of his rapid rise this year.
Yeah.
So all horses peak, and Sandown might well have just been his peak for the season.
Okay. So you don't think you're going to win the Arc, then?
I don't think you're going to win the Arc, no. No. Okay. I think something will improve past him.
Yeah.
I think that he's been beautifully placed this year in to win three Group 1s.
His best form's left-handed as well. Best form's right-handed, sorry.
Yes.
He's won like his last seven or eight races going right-handed, so
yeah.
Ascot would therefore suit if he were to go to Champions Day, which would be interesting.
The Arc is, for me, the biggest race of the year. I mean, that's a fantastic race, and if I had a horse and I had a chance of winning the Arc, I would definitely go for the Arc over everything. However, realistically, I think 10 furlongs around Ascot is ideal for Alkazim, so
okay.
Do you try and win the Arc, or do you have a great, great chance of winning the Champions Day? So
one of those, isn't it? Yeah.
I personally would go for the Arc because you only get really one crack at that race. So, but yeah, I don't think he'll win the Arc, but I think he might well win the Champions Stakes. So,
Okay, well, we'll watch that space, see what happens with that later on in the season. One other horse that I want to talk about on Wednesday was Telescope, who's long been talked up as a top class Group 1 performer, yet to do it in a Group 1, but he showed something more like it on Wednesday.
Yeah, it was just another case of people writing horses off. I mean, admittedly, he's been overhyped, or he's been hyped. We don't know whether he's been overhyped. Yeah. He's never running a Group 1. Say he's a Group 1 horse, he hasn't proven he's not yet. At Leicester, he came back and he won by 24 lengths first time out. A fantastic time. Admittedly, a muddling race. But I think Ryan Moore really pushed him out that day. And then he came back a month later in his first crack at Group Company against older horses.
Yeah.
And he finished second, beaten a length by a vastly experienced animal in David Livingston, who'd previously run really well in a group race at Sandown. And everyone went, oh, it's gone. Bubbles burst. Not good enough. It's not giving him a chance. It's only his fourth run.
He's never been out the front two either. And yeah, his first step into Group Company. And then he's done it well. And
he came back 11 days later and won yesterday in Group 2 company.
Do you think the trip was the making of him?
Yeah, I just think he was out for a long time he had niggles, he had injuries. I just don't know. I don't know what people want. Except it was a perfect. Haydock was a perfect group introduction. The fact that he was 4-9 and the fact that he's been hyped as the second coming, obviously. But if you're dealing in facts, Haydock was a perfectly good run. If you're dealing in myth and hype, yes, it was disappointing. And then York, and no one seems to have said anything since. He won yesterday, and I don't know, maybe the hype machine's moved on.
Yeah, well, there's no negative hype to come for him anymore, so there's not, oh, he's done it now.
Yeah, that's true, yeah.
Rather, no, look at him, he's done it again, he's messed it up again.
Can a bubble reform? I don't know.
He's now encapsulated in a new bubble.
Yes, he's found a new bubble. Well done, Telescope. I think he's a good horse.
Do you think he'd go to Ledger?
I don't see why not.
Yeah. Do you see him as a Ledger type?
I think he's got every chance. I see absolutely no reason why you wouldn't. yeah, he's got every. I think I'd say he probably is better. I think he will be I think he'll be a King George type next year, perhaps. Mm. But it's certainly worth a go.
Okay, we'll wait and see if he gets supplemented then. We'll leave that there unless there's anything else burning inside about York on Wednesday.
No, just my hunger for
the game or for food.
Bit of both.
Okay,
and obviously my love for you, Mark. But that goes without saying.
It
should
does.
Have done.
Yes,
should have definitely gone without saying.
Yes, I might actually edit that bit out now, so nobody has to know. But we're going to look at Friday's racing. We're going to look at the first four, in fact. And the 155 is the first bet. It's a mile and a half, class 2 handicap, with 16 runners in the field. A nice big handicap to get stuck into in the first race. And Winterlude is the betting. We have betting on site, by the way, so you can have a bet right now if you want to. And Winterlude is the 4-1 favourite. Gospel Choir, 7s. A bit of money for Castillo del Diablo, who's 9s into 8s. Rios Rosana is also 8-1. Party Line and Kiama Bay, both 9-1. Scattered Ice is 10s. White Nile, 11s. And 12-1 or bigger prices, the rest. A tricky old start to Friday's racing.
Especially as it will be 15 runners, because Hanoverian Baron snuck into the Ebor on Saturday, so he'll be a non-runner.
Okay.
Although I think someone's been reading my mind, as Castillo did the Diablo, did look overpriced at double figures. He's a quirky sort, admittedly. He's only won two of his eight races, and he made a bit reasonably heavy weather of those. But he's been running some really strong middle distance handicaps. He went at Kempton last year when given a strong ride by Jamie Spencer, and then he went to Salisbury on his seasonal reappearance behind Sun Central, who's a horse I absolutely love, and finished a perfectly reasonable fifth in a strong race. He then ran over 2 miles at Haydock, which was too far for him, but that race was that one of the best handicaps of the year. Still waiting for De Rigueur, who won, to reappear. They must have, because he runs really well fresh. I assume they've got some target for him.
Yeah.
But Sun Central was in second. He's won since. Beyond Conceit was back in third. Brockwell's frank the form. Who else was down the field and command? Oriental Fox run really well as well. Kiama Bay was 13th in that race and has won twice since. Very strong contest. And then last time out at Kempton, he got beat by a horse called Seal of Approval. On its handicap debut, who won a listed race and is now rated 99 last time out. So Bishop Rocco was back in third. He won next time out. I think it's just very strong form. And the only time he's been at the front two in his over a mile and a half was in an Ascot race last year, which was such a mess. I mean, that race has worked out exceptionally well, because it was a fantastic handicap. All the best three-year-olds turned up for that middle distance handicap, and it was just carnage. The horses who placed came out in front of the form, but it was horses all the way down the field who got no run who came out and won decent races next time out. So it was a good contest, even though he got beat 9 lengths. So I think he's a big price. Okay. Winterlude, I don't think's won a great deal, although he's very much on the up. Gospel Choir would be a big worry if he's fit, because he ran in that Ascot race as well and was sent off favourite, and he hasn't been seen since. He could be better than a handicapper in time.
Yeah, making a reappearance from... 300-odd-day absence since that race, yeah. Okay. So are you going to go with Castillo del Diablo?
Castillo del Diablo. Yes.
Beautifully said, yes. On to the 2:30 then. This is the Group 2 Lonsdale Cup. It's part of the British Champion Series, and it's over 2 miles, so we've got stayers in action here, and the betting looks like this. Simenon 13-8, Azima is 4-1 as his time's up. It's 11-2 for Caucus, Colour Vision 8-1, Glen's Diamond 14s, and Ascot Tor is 20-1. We'll start here with Simenon then, who was second in the Ascot Gold Cup last time we saw him, and he's pretty good at this kind of staying group contest, isn't he?
He is. He's made into a really nice dual-purpose performer, hasn't he? However, he loves Ascot, and he runs that track better than he runs anywhere else on the flat. And for that reason, I moot. I think he will maybe be a bit flattered by that Ascot form here, coming here to York, especially at an odds of 13-8. His record at Ascot over staying distances is two decent wins last year at Royal Ascot, and then second in the Gold Cup. Elsewhere, he's not so good. I mean, he's good, but he's not as good as he is at Ascot. He's raced twice here at York. He's been three times here at York, so, and he's been well beaten every time, including this race last year. Admittedly, he wasn't in as good a form, But I think he's underpriced here, based on that Ascot form. I don't think he backs the Ascot form up elsewhere. And I think it's a strong race. I think there's two horses I would be backing, and they are Time's Up and Caucus. I think the older crew might well win this. Time's Up, another horse I absolutely love. He progressed really into a very consistent horse. He's won almost a third of his races, and for a horse who spends most of his life enlisted in group company and top class handicaps, that's a fantastic strike rate.
Mm-hmm. Won this race last year as well.
And he did win this race last year as well. And he had a few runs last year, and he was a little bit disappointed, admittedly, but he does take a few runs to get going. He was beaten out of sight last time out at Ascot, but he just, in contrast to Simenon, he doesn't seem to show his best form at Ascot, but he does show it here. And Ed Dunlop's in very good form as well. So I think a return to York is going to be very much a bonus. And Ryan Moore, obviously a fantastic booking. Mm-hmm. And the other one is Caucus, who won on its penultimate start and then was beaten last time out at Goodwood behind Brown Panther, where he was held up very keen at the back in a race that developed from the middle to the front.
Yeah.
I don't think that was his best form whatsoever. I think the York form of Time's Up last time out and the Sandown form of Caucus before that are perfectly reasonable in this kind of race. So I just think Simon, I just want to get Simon on beat, basically, because I think he's very much an Ascot horse.
Okay. The 3 or 5 then is the next race. This is the Strensel Stakes, which is a Group 3 contest over the extended mile. It's nearly a mile and... No, it's not. Yeah, nearly a mile and 1 furlong, isn't it?
It's pretty much 9 furlongs, yeah.
Yeah, pretty much. Pavlosk is the 5-2 favourite. City Style, 4-1. Archbishop, 9-2 with Robin Hood's Bay. 7-1 for Dana Dana. Gabriel is also 7-1. And Red Avenger is 14-1. Pavlosk is a horse I struggle to work out at the moment. Good form at York when winning the listed race, but struggled in the Group 1, which is fair enough. And then the Goodwood effort last time made me scratch my head a little bit.
Yeah, and again, I think she's a bit underpriced. I think, I mean, she's got York form. She's unexposed. But the listed race that she won here was, well, it was just average. It was all right. It wasn't bad. You know, nothing to get carried away. And I'm certainly not getting carried away with her. She got beat in Group 1 company, as you said, next time out at Ascot. And then she stayed on very strongly over 7 furlongs last time out. I think people have latched onto that, the fact that she was quite eye-catching late on.
Yeah.
And York form. People have put 2 and 2 together and come up with 5 a bit there. But again, I think she's up against some relatively strong horses. I mean, City Style made a perfectly adequate comeback last time out behind David Livingston and Telescope in what is probably going to turn out to be a pretty strong race, and is a very talented horse in its own right as well, but still never won in group company, so not entirely convinced. Archbishop's coming off the back of a bit of an absence, although he was a really progressive horse last year. He's a genuine group performer, but I think this Robin Hood's Bay could well take this step up in grade in his stride here. He's just completely turned his form around over the past 6 months. He was previously, I mean, he is an all-weather horse, essentially. But he won his first race on turf last time out in a very valuable handicap over at Haydock, beating Snocky and Star and Educate. It was a strong race. It was run at a strong gallop. And I was really impressed with the way this horse went about his business. He recorded a very strong time as well. The trip's perfect for him. And he's just been progressing. I mean, he won that off 101 last time out. Mm. And yeah, you look at it and you think it's handicap form. But he's rated 107 now. He's hardly a... I mean, he's got about 5 or 6 pounds to find with the likes of City Style and Archbishop, but he's very much on the up. He's fit. He's got Johnny Murta booked. I think he's going to be underrated. He's not from a particularly fashionable yard, and he won a handicap last time out, so people are going to try and take him on, I think. And he could be a big prize.
Okay. Robin Hood's Bay there then, and the final race we're going to look at is the big race of the day. It's the 3:40 at York, which is the Nunthorpe Stakes, part of the British Champion Series, a Group 1 contest over the Flying 5 furlongs. It's going to be fast and furious, and there's plenty of them in the lineup here. The betting is headed by Shea today, who's 7-2. Soul Power is 4-1. Movie Star 5s. Slade Power and Swiss Spirit both 7s. 12-1 for Tickle Pink. Kingsgate Native 14s. And 16-1 or bigger prices. The remainder, well, as always, wide open. You could give any of these a chance, Ross. So I'll just let you talk about the ones you like.
Yeah, we could spend all day talking about this race, but let's not. just keep it simple. Shea each way. But I still think he'll win. Hugely progressive horse in South Africa. Looked a world beater in Maidan as well. And been unfortunate to not win one of his two starts so far. He was beaten by Soul Power, who was given a perfect ride at Ascot on the other, completely the other side of the track. So Shea never really had a chance to have a battle with him. Mm-hmm. And then six furlongs at Newmarket, where everything developed down the rail. I think he needs a wide open space, Shea, to see at his best. He was at Maidan where he could get into his engine running and get into a rhythm. And I think York could be perfect for him. I think Shea will win the Nunthorpe.
Okay, simple as that. Let's have a quick summary then, Ross, before you go. If you'll give us your four selections for York on Friday, please.
Okay, Castillo del Diablo in the opener. Time's up in Caucus against Simenon in the Lonsdale Cup. Robin Hood's Bay in the Strensel. And Shai to win the big one.
Thank you very much, Ross. Enjoy it on Friday. So there you go then, the thoughts of Ross Briley on Friday's racing at York. It's Nunthorpe Day and the third day of the Ebo meeting. Plenty to look forward to there. We also have Newmarket, Fosslass, Newcastle, Goodwood and Hamilton. Stuart Beasley, John Budden and Gareth Topham will be in the studio and they'll be live on Racing Radio from 1:35 p.m. Thank you very much for listening to the William Hill Racing Podcast and enjoy Friday's action.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.